Chapter 50. Let me go, sir, apostrophe she cried, her heart swelling with anger. Do you hear? Instantly this moment. Apostrophe, sit down, apostrophe said Sir Mulberry. I want to talk to you. Apostrophe, unhand me, sir, this instant, apostrophe cried Kate. Not for the world, apostrophe rejoined Sir Mulberry. Thus speaking, he leaned over, as if to replace her in her chair, but the young lady, making a violent effort to disengage herself, he lost his balance, and measured his length upon the ground. As Kate sprung forward to leave the room, Mr. Ralph Nickleby appeared in the doorway, and confronted her. What is this? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Ralph. It is this, sir, apostrophe, replied Kate, violently agitated. That beneath the roof where I, a helpless girl, your dead brother's child, should most have found protection, I have been exposed to insult which should make you shrink to look upon me. Let me pass you. Apostrophe, Ralph did shrink, as the indignant girl fixed her kindling eye upon him, but he did not comply with her injunction, nevertheless. For he led her to a distant seat, and returning, and approaching Sir Mulberry Hawk, who had by this time risen, motioned towards the door. Your way lies there, sir, apostrophe said Ralph, in a suppressed voice, that some devil might have owned with pride. What do you mean by that? Apostrophe, apostrophe demanded his friend, fiercely. The swollen veins stood out like sinews on Ralph's wrinkled forehead, and the nerves about his mouth worked, as though some unendurable emotion wrung them, but he smiled disdainfully, and again pointed to the door. Do you know me, you old madman? Apostrophe, apostrophe asked Sir Mulberry. Well, apostrophe said Ralph. The fashionable vagabond for the moment quite quailed under the steady look of the older sinner, and walked towards the door, muttering as he went. You wanted the Lord, did you? Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, stopping short when he reached the door, as if a new light had broken in upon him, and confronting Ralph again. Damn, I was in the way, was I? Apostrophe, Ralph smiled again, but made no answer. Who brought him to you first? Apostrophe, apostrophe, pursued Sir Mulberry. And how, without me, could you ever have wound him in your net as you have? Apostrophe, apostrophe, the net is a large one, and rather full, apostrophe said Ralph. Take care that it chokes nobody in the meshes. Apostrophe, you would sell your flesh and blood for money, yourself, if you have not already made a bargain with the devil, apostrophe retorted the other. Do you mean to tell me that your pretty niece was not brought here as a decoy for the drunken boy downstairs? Apostrophe, apostrophe, although this hurried dialogue was carried on in a suppressed tone on both sides, Ralph looked involuntarily round to ascertain that Kate had not moved her position so as to be within hearing. His adversary saw the advantage he had gained, and followed it up. Do you mean to tell me, apostrophe he asked again, that it is not so? Do you mean to say that, if he had found his way up here instead of me, you wouldn't have been a little more blind, and a little more deaf, and a little less flourishing, than you have been? Come, Nickleby, answer me that. Apostrophe, I tell you this, apostrophe replied Ralph, that if I brought her here, as a matter of business apostrophe, that's the word, apostrophe interposed Sir Mulberry, with a laugh. You're coming to yourself again now. Apostrophe, apostrophe as a matter of business, apostrophe pursued Ralph, speaking slowly and firmly, as a man who has made up his mind to say no more, because I thought she might make some impression on the silly youth you have taken in hand, and are lending good help to ruin. I knew knowing him, that it would be long, before he outraged her girl's feelings, and that unless he offended by mere puppyism and emptiness, he would, with a little management, respect the sex and conduct even of his usurer's niece. But if I thought to draw him on more gently by this device, I did not think of subjecting the girl to the licentiousness and brutality of so old a hand as you. And now we understand each other. Apostrophe, especially as there was nothing to be got by it, eh? apostrophe apostrophe sneered Sir Mulberry. Exactly so, apostrophe said Ralph. He had turned away, and looked over his shoulder, to make this last reply. The eyes of the two worthies met, with an expression, as if each rascal felt that there was no disguising himself from the other, and Sir Mulberry Hawk shrugged his shoulders and walked slowly out. His friend closed the door, and looked restlessly towards the spot where his niece still remained in the attitude in which he had left her. She had flung herself heavily upon the couch, and with her head drooping over the cushion, and her face hidden in her hands, seemed to be still weeping in an agony of shame and grief. Ralph would have walked into any poverty-stricken debtor's house, and pointed him out to a bailiff, though in attendance upon a young child's deathbed, without the smallest concern, because it would have been a matter quite in the ordinary course of business, and the man would have been an offender against his only code of morality. But, here was a young girl, who had done no wrong save that of coming into the world alive, who had patiently yielded to all his wishes, who had tried hard to please him above all, who didn't owe him money, and he felt awkward and nervous. Ralph took a chair at some distance, then, another chair a little nearer, then, moved a little nearer still, then, nearer again, and finally sat himself on the same sofa, and laid his hand on Kate's arm. Hush, my dear. Apostrophe, apostrophe, he said, as she drew it back, and her sobs burst out afresh. Hush, hush. Don't mind it now. Don't think of it. Apostrophe, oh, for pity's sake, let me go home, apostrophe, cried Kate. Let me leave this house, and go home. Apostrophe, yes, yes, apostrophe, said Ralph. You shall. But you must dry your eyes first, and compose yourself. Let me raise your head. There, there. Apostrophe, oh, uncle. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Kate, clasping her hands. What have I done, what have I done, that you should subject me to this? If I had wronged you in thought, or word, or deed, it would have been most cruel to me, and the memory of one you must have loved in some old time. But apostrophe, only listen to me for a moment, apostrophe, interrupted Ralph, seriously alarmed by the violence of her emotions. I didn't know it would be so. It was impossible for me to foresee it. I did all I could. Come, let us walk about. You are faint with the closeness of the room, and the heat of these lamps. You will be better now, if you make the slightest effort. Apostrophe, I will do anything, apostrophe, replied Kate, if you will only send me home. Apostrophe, well, well, I will, apostrophe, said Ralph. But you must get back your own looks, for those you have will frighten them, and nobody must know of this but you and one. Now let us walk the other way. There. You look better even now. Apostrophe, with such encouragements as these, Ralph Nickleby walked to and fro, with his niece leaning on his arm, actually trembling beneath her touch. In the same manner, when he judged it prudent to allow her to depart, he supported her downstairs, after adjusting her shawl and performing such little offices, most probably for the first time in his life. Across the hall, and down the steps, Ralph led her to, nor did he withdraw his hand until she was seated in the coach. As the door of the vehicle was roughly closed, a comb fell from Kate's hair, close at her uncle's feet, and as he picked it up, and returned it into her hand, the light from a neighboring lamp shone upon her face. The lock of hair, that had escaped and curled loosely over her brow, the traces of tears yet scarcely dry, the flushed cheek, the look of sorrow, all fired some dormant train of recollection in the old man's breast, and the face of his dead brother seemed present before him, with the very look it bore on some occasion of boyish grief, of which every minute's circumstance flashed upon his mind, with the distinctness of a scene of yesterday. Ralph Nickleby, who was proof against all appeals of blood and kindred, who was steeled against every tale of sorrow and distress, staggered while he looked, and went back into his house, as a man who had seen a spirit from some world beyond the grave. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.